Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guests, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show, Alternative Medicine and Wellness. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here. We are going to be talking today about the body as an energy unit. Does anybody really even know what that means? You know, we think about chronic disease, and it's one of those diagnosis codes that you have to put on the piece of paper so you can get your testing and your treatment done, and then you walk around for the rest of your life and say, I have this, I have that, sort of like you got these little purses stuck to your waist with different names on, and eventually those end up becoming you. And I think a lot of people are really starting to understand this concept that you're not your disease, you're not your therapy, your treatment, what your doctor said, or all of these other things, or how your neighbors may have gone through that, and, oh, hey, cancer's no big deal anymore. Didn't you see that lady over there, and she's doing great, or, oh, yeah, he survived it 40 years ago. But it really turns around and disses the experience of you yourself in your own energy body. So really what we're going to talk about today is how can you connect with your own energy body? How can you see that it may be something offset in your chronic illness or your pain or some of these diseases that are going around these days? And really, how can we get a better grip on it for each of us as an individual? Because I'll tell you, there's a whole lot of guru stuff going on now. You know, you've got awakening, you've got energies, you've got the world is changing, you've got all kinds of things out there. And, you know, right down to, oh, well, I know what my body needs, but, hey, I need a medical testing because I want to double check. You know, what are you double checking, you know? So all of these concepts, all these thoughts about are coming up about our health and our wellness and our body, and we're going to talk about them all today. My guest today is Dr. Nicholas Korn. He is an Oriental medicine doctor and a master Qigong healer. And he also has a U.S. patent on vibropuncture, which he'll be talking about today. And he really talks about the core of the body and how to bring everything into focus. I mean, we can't turn around and say we're just going to focus on the head because the head is not working, or the heart's not working, and I'm just going to give you drugs and a therapy, or then just say we're just going to do Reiki, or we're just going to do massage. Really, there are so many different entities to our body, you have no clue, but Dr. Korn is here to help us today. Dr. Korn, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, I'm delighted that you've invited me to speak on your show again. I'm very happy.
Well, Dr. Korn, I know, you know, we can all say this. The world is going someplace, and we're all just kind of floating along, or we're actually battling it and trying to get ourselves hunkered down because we don't know what's coming up, right, these days?
Exactly.
So what do you think, Dr. Korn? You know, you've seen it, I'm sure, with health. I mean, you and I are both older. We've both seen healthcare from many decades before. And, you know, to look at the evolution of how we're even thinking about our own body, it's absolutely incredible, don't you think so?
No, it's very interesting times that we're going through. You know, I was just telling my wife the other day, I'm not sure how old you are, I'm 58, and I was born in the UK, and yeah. I was trying to remember if I'd ever been to a medical doctor or an alternative health professional and had a positive experience, you know, really got a benefit.
Yeah.
And I told her I really didn't. You know, the only way that I've been able to improve and develop my own health is by myself. And so as I reflect on how my own experience has been, I'm not surprised, you know, when people get frustrated or they don't feel that they've, you know, been able to resolve, especially chronic problems that have you know, surfaced in one way or another, or been replaced by another set of symptoms or frustrations. Somehow
you
the
know,
system
that,
doesn't work.
That's exactly, you know, what I was thinking about also, because I'll be 59, and I can tell you with all my healthcare experiences, I mean, I've been in open heart surgery and helped with a lot of people that had all kinds of mental concerns and, you know, all elders and end of life. And you and I both probably have been on similar paths. And, you know, we've looked at it and said something isn't right here and we have to figure out what or how to be able to help ourselves, because really there isn't anyone that's going to be able to do that for us. When really, if you look at it, really isn't, I've always said to people, I think that chronic diseases, why do you have such a chronic disease? It's because something is not getting heard. Either the physician is not hearing you and you're not able to get the help that you need, or you're really inside your spirit or your soul really needs to be heard and you just don't know how to eloquently put that forward to be able to get the help you need. You know, it's because really isn't chronic disease just a symptom screaming out of something on the inside that's just saying I need something, or I need to be heard, or I need to be loved or cared for, or something is out of balance, or maybe you need to try something else, or it's time to wake up, whatever that might be. What are your thoughts?
Well, chronic disease literally means something that's been there for a long time, chronic. And so something's been there for a long time. It had to start a long time ago.
Right.
And usually that means it starts, you know, early in life, maybe even before you're born in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
And last time I was on your show, I remember you were telling me about a previous guest who was a physician. And you mentioned that he'd written a book. And in that book, he said that he expected his patients to be obedient towards his...
Yes.
And you were... I gasped at that, and I commented that I myself a very a disobedient individual myself. And actually, that's been a lifesaver for me, because I think when you're a child, you see through a lot of things. You know, you have a very clear, quote-unquote, bullshit meter, and you can feel things. But, unfortunately, you get trained into this obedience thing, and you're taken down pathways which ultimately lead you to suppression of your emotions, to lifestyles that are not in sync with nature, and of course you're going to get sick physically, mentally, spiritually. So it's that track of being displaced from what you know inside as a child to be authentic and natural, and out of capitulation and obedience, you just end up eventually somatizing physically, developing symptoms of expression of that dislocation from your true self.
Yeah, and I think, as we've said before in the show, and I don't think we could ever be having this conversation several decades ago. So for people to say, oh, well, I wasted all that time in the past, or I didn't pick it up, or why doesn't my doctor know about that, or, you know, why isn't this blasted all over the news? It's because really this is all about learning more about ourselves, and this really has not come really out of the closet or into fruition, I think, in this last 10 years. Don't you think so?
Well, no, I think there's more than that going on. I mean, I think, first of all, you know, medical professionals have been put through years of training, but that training is very limited, and a lot of it's out of date. And so all new information, new research, new rediscoveries are coming up all the time. And doctors and other medical professionals feel overwhelmed with, you know, information overwhelm.
Right.
And struggling to keep up, and they, you know, and at the same time, they have to keep the prestige of being the person who is on top of everything, but they feel, you know, they're on a slippery slope. And so that we're at this strange, you know, slipping of the gears now with all this new information basically splurging out of the internet, and then the medical, the experts in all professions trying to keep up appearances, and then and people are wondering, you know, where do I look for the truth? And so it's part of the internet revolution and the information age and information glut. And so, you know, it's very easy to think you've found the answer when it's really not the answer, or to be tricked into thinking that somebody else's answer is the answer for you when it really doesn't work.
There is so much out there these days. Even trying to find a way through all of the internet information really leaves people weary. And I think some people just plain check out, you know, or they'll check in and just get a bunch of prescriptions and they're going to live their life that way and they're good to go, you know. So, in other words, we can tune in and really do something for ourselves, or we could tune out and just say, it's just too much for me.
Well, I think that what we've, you know, I think what we don't have in our culture, because it's a very immature culture, this country's only a couple of hundred years old, we don't have certain built-in understandings from ancient cultures. And one of those is the guide and the mentor. You know, like you need, if you're going to the outback, you need someone like in Australia who knows the land, who can guide you through dangerous areas. And we need this on all levels of existence, including the soul level. We certainly need it on a medical level with health, and we don't have that type of figure very rarely. It's not a doctor, it's not a healer, not a Reiki master or a massage therapist or a whatever. It's someone different than that who can somehow read you, take the time to understand how you, what you need and how to fit you into the landscape of the world today and how to guide you through it. Mm-hmm. And that's a very, very, that's very rare in the world today. And I think that's why we don't even culturally recognize our need for that in the society. That's my perspective on it.
Yeah, because when you go to the hospital and they say they're going to bring you an advocate, they bring someone down who's going to get you through social services. You know, what do you need? Do you need a wheelchair? Do you need home care? And I'll send you a nurse and make sure you pay your bill. That's what you get. Or, and I've even gone to a local hospital, you know, they're putting this big biomedical kind of thing here in New Orleans where it's going to be the big biomedical center of the whole U.S. And, you know, it's 10 square blocks and blah, blah, blah. But, and you go inside and you look at it and it is aesthetically better than it used to be. And they say, well, this is our wellness center. And I'll say, well, what's different about it? And one of the late doctors had said to me at one time, really all it is a fancy spa. Nothing's changed. We just moved over from the other building, you know. So the mind and the mentality has not changed, just the coat that they wore, the mask that they put on. And that's kind of so sad to hear these days where people, you know, kind of get misinformation when they're not able to help themselves. Well, you know what, Dr. Corin, you know, you have a lot of different things at your clinic. Can you share just briefly, you have all different types of energy treatments, but can we say first, what in your mind is how you see the body as an energy focus? Because people will say, oh, there's that book, you know, that was written, you know, what is it? I think it's probably about six decades ago. But what is your concept of the body as an energy focus right now? How would you explain that to someone that really does not understand it at all?
Okay, so let me say this to start out with. When people talk about energy medicine or claim that they're doing energy medicine, in my opinion, most of the time, they don't know what they're doing because they don't really know what they're talking about. In other words, they cannot explain what energy really is. Energy actually is not something like a fuel, a power, a substance, or a modality. It's really like a zone in which mind, body, and spirit, body chemistry, body physiology, our thoughts, our emotions, all entangle or interact like on a dance floor. Mm-hmm. So unless you know how the biochemistry, the biology, the psychology of the person works, you cannot be an energy healer. You're just pretending to do something. It might have a temporary good effect, but essentially it's just a sort of nice band-aid, and the problem will not be resolved because the problem hasn't really been touched. So energy is really a matter of relationship between our biology, our chemistry, our psychology, and our spirituality.
Yeah, and so many people will say, well, you know, I have a religion, so you don't need to be bothered with that. And, you know, I have my prescriptions, and they keep me pretty good going on that. And, yeah, I take a water aerobics class. So, really, I got it all covered, right, Doc? I've heard that comment many times.
Well, you know, we can all, you know, we can all pretend to ourselves it's very easy to do, and we can have beliefs that keep us walking, moving steadily through life, and that's good. But if those beliefs aren't completely in touch with reality, maybe we're not seeing certain things that are happening. Maybe we have, you know, blinkers on because our beliefs are keeping us focused on just certain things and we're not seeing other things. So we might not be realizing that something is going wrong, for example, in our blood chemistry, one of our organs, and it hasn't necessarily even been picked up in standard blood work. And then one day we wake up and we go to the doctor and we go, oh, actually, you know, you've developed a cancer or you have diabetes, you have something else that shocks us. Or we have some other, you know, orthopedic problem or something, and then another medication is prescribed for that that wasn't tracked at the time of the beginning stages when it's so much easier, you know, to correct things. So the problem generally in the society, medically speaking, is it's let's intervene when it's already too late approach rather than let's take the early intervention preventive medicine approach. Let's look very carefully and closely at things and be, you know, flexible and focused and alert. And that would save everybody, that would lengthen everybody's lifespan, bring the quality of life up, and it would save the country a huge amount of money.
Well, Dr. Corin, also, too, it's great you get a lot of clients, I'm sure, on prevention, but also you get the people who are very sick. So you can see both ways.
Mm-hmm.
How, when a person is very sick, do you start to help them? At your clinic, you have a lot of movement. You have Qigong, Tai Chi. You talk about curative movement. You talk about a lot of different ways that you do help people. You also have your vibrapuncture. But also, if they're seriously ill, I mean, do you work with the doctors that they currently have? Or how do you help a person that says, I'm really sick, and they stand at your door and say, I don't know what else to do, and here I am?
Well, I always tell them the same thing. I say information is power, which means you need to know what you have, what causes it, what options you have, objectively what the results might be of those different treatment options. And once you have that information on the table at your fingertips, we can discuss which path to go down. And most of the time, what I find is that people are hopelessly unaware of the real options for healing. And so sometimes they've been, you know, they've been brainwashed, or they've been, you know, they adopted a negative belief that, you know, only this works, or only this can help this condition. And actually, you know, this is not true at all. So the first step is always to, you know, inform, open the mind of the person with the condition. If the person has an open mind and open heart, then I tell them, you know, if you have the will to get better, then we can certainly, there's a very strong likelihood that you will be able to get better. But without that openness of heart, openness of mind, the desire really to get better and to look for answers off the beaten track, if the person's stuck in a kind of a negative belief system, then, you know, they're kind of glued to only 3 choices out of 100 choices. Maybe they're very bad choices. So, go ahead.
Don't you think sometimes, too, when they meet that wall of resistance, that is such an opportune time for them to say, okay, I'm finally going to break through whatever this is, or I'm going to run away and hide because it's just going to hurt too much, or, you know, it just doesn't interest me and that has nothing to do with me. So there's three great opportune answers that I think I see quite often when I speak with people, you know?
Well, I think it comes down to, first of all, is your condition life-threatening? Are you going to maybe die of this, number one? Number two, is it severely threatening to the quality of your life? Meaning, is it going to physically or emotionally disable you? Number three, is it going to lead to swift degradation of your body? In other words, early aging. Are you fine with that?
Right,
or do you want
yes,
to reverse
yes.
that? Mm-hmm. Those are very straightforward questions. And, you know, if the person decides, I want to live, I don't have an unconscious suicide desire to kill myself. I'm not operating
right.
from that place. Or there's a part of me that is, but there's a part of me that isn't. So I say, okay, well, the part of you that isn't, the part of you that wants to live, I'm going to communicate with that part. We'll honor the other part. We won't, you know, dishonor mm-hmm. it, but we're going to connect with the part that wants to live, or the part that wants to be healthy or preserve the body or reverse aging or reverse degenerative disease. And once you're committed to that part of yourself and you want to go on the journey, then, you know, full steam ahead.
You know, that's so interesting because so many people will say, you know, I thought I just had to come in and spill my guts, you know, for 10 minutes and you were going to give me something on the way out. And, you know, we all know that, you know, people say I'm sick, give me a prescription, you know, because tomorrow I'm going on a cruise. You know how that goes. And
well, you know, yeah, but
so much more.
Right. I mean, people are free to do that, but, at the, mm-hmm. you know, all healing requires personal responsibility.
Yeah.
And you can delay. It's like, you know, you can use your credit card and eventually you're maxed out. And then what
mm-hmm.
are you going to do? You still have to pay your mortgage. You still have to pay your car loan. But, hey, then you're in foreclosure.
Yeah.
And what pertains to the field of finance is a cruel world. Pertains to the field of medicine. It's a cruel world. Life is cruel. Disease is cruel. It doesn't forgive and forget. It keeps pursuing you. So if you have an unhealthy lifestyle and you pretend to ignore it, that's
right.
fine, except eventually it's going to catch up with you. You know. So it's a matter of whether or not you love yourself enough and you respect yourself enough to say, it's up to me to choose, and everybody's free to choose. If you want to, you know, get old prematurely, have these chronic illnesses, or maybe die of a heart attack, a stroke, cancer,
mm-hmm.
everybody's free to choose their own path. But, you know, I'm here to offer the opportunity to people not to go down that path. And if you choose healing and longevity, recovery, happiness, I'm here to work with you. Otherwise, there's plenty of other offices you
yes.
can go to for that so-called quick fix.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Corin, can you tell us a little bit about your types of therapies? Because many of our listeners are familiar with some of these names, but they're not really familiar about the background behind it or what or how it can help them. For instance, Qigong, you know, people say, well, I don't know. That sounds like a Chinese name. I don't know anything about it, but, hey, I'm sure I can't probably do it, and then they pass by. Or then they go to Tai Chi, and they say the same thing. And then they say yoga. They say, oh, that's for those young chicks, you know, that can bend like, you know, pretzels and stuff. But you really have a different concept around all of these therapies, that there are no limits to your body. There also are no limits to the ages or the conditions to which they can be helped by all of these.
Right. Well, you know, at the beginning we talked about how you go to the hospital and you're sent to this room, this test, this procedure, this specialist, and you end up feeling chopped into pieces like chicken parts in the supermarket. And this
mm-hmm.
is the most common experience I hear from people about their medical experiences. I'm fragmented. The whole thing just splinters me into bits and pieces, and where am I in all of this? And you started the conversation with that. How do you find your core energy, your sense of self? When that sense of self integration is dismantled, or is, you know, the nuts and bolts start to come out, then disease process sets in. So these ancient practices, yoga, qigong, tai chi, they're not just movements, they're part of a whole wellness practice and medical understanding from 5,000-6,000 years ago. And these have enabled people to conquer all sorts of diseases, including life-threatening ones, and in some cases live to be 110, 120, and healthy. So there's a very, you know, extensive resume with these practices. And the thing is, in order to learn them and to do them, you have to have a good instructor, a good teacher, and you have to do it, you know, regularly, like anything. You can't just do it sort of when you feel like doing it. You have to sort of learn how to learn, build up to it and learn to do it regularly and properly. Like anything, if you want to be good at anything, you have to practice it, right? And so
it has to become part of you instead of just something you do.
Exactly.
It's, in other words, it's not just, hey, I'm going to go to the gym tomorrow and I'm going to exercise kind of idea, you know?
No,
you're really going there
yoga,
for yourself.
Right, and the thing is that when, you know, when these classes are offered at the gym, they're part of gym culture. You know, they're part of go to work out a little bit, you take a shower, you're home. Whereas the real way to do that is you know, you're right. It has to be part of you. It must have been part of your life. And it has to be an inward thing, not just an outward thing. And then, you know, the thing with that is when you do that, then you start to eat healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You start to sleep healthy. You naturally start to avoid poisons and poisonous people even.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you naturally start to change. Your metabolism changes. You become much more sensitive to what's right for you and avoid what's wrong for you.
Yeah. You know, some people will say, oh, I got healthy and, you know, my marriage broke up, or I got really healthy and I gave away my drugs. And, you know, you know, those are really positive both things because, you know, hey, if your marriage broke up, maybe it was the unhealthy part of your life that maybe you had not looked at and it just kind of fell away. So, and, you know, same thing with the medications. You just, they fell away. So there are benefits to being able to be into self-respect and self-love of yourself and not worry so much about those around you, as we've said, you know, and you've definitely noted, is that those things will fall away if they're not in your best interest.
No, no, I mean, the studies have been done, which are very interesting, in the 80s and 90s in blood work in people who were suffering from blood cancers, and they tested different personality types, you know, and they discovered that, you know, the attitude of the person, openness to change and willingness to take personal responsibility and to put yourself first are crucial when you want to heal. So, you know, Larry Lachan, who's a famous American psychologist, wrote the phrase, sing the song of your own, sing the unique song of your personality if you want to heal. Now, you have to, expression of who you are in a creative way, joyous way, free, expressive, creative way, that's the only sound, only vibration that will bring you back to yourself and out of an entrapment. And it is, that's exactly what a disease is. So sometimes, yeah, when you go through healing, you end up leaving your spouse, your job, where you live, because it has become, you know, toxic to you, and you just didn't realize it.
Yeah. And so many times, I think, when people have cancer, you see this a lot, you know, people that may have been very quiet in the past begin to be more vocal. They begin to be more take control of their life. They make more choices. And people say, wow, you know, did you unleash the lion? And they say, no, I'm just fighting. And sometimes you say, oh, is fighting really the word you should be using? Really, they're just fighting. They're opening up themselves is what they're really doing. A lot of people may be saying, hey, you know, I've been quiet. I've been doing things everybody else's way and for everyone else, and I'm going to change that. And that's what they do. They just get out of their shell and say, get out of my way because I'm limited time. I'm sure you may have heard that from some cancer people with cancer. I know I've heard it quite often myself.
Yeah, of course. You hear it all the time, we know, with cancer patients. And sometimes you hear the person say, you know, I'm going to fight this, mm-hmm. and, you know, I'm a fighter. And when they say that, I just look at them and I say, do you understand the difference between street fighting and smart fighting?
Right.
You know, someone who's a brawler in the street flailing around and someone who is a smart, educated fighter knows when to dodge, bob, weave, and throw the killer punch.
Mm-hmm.
You better understand that difference, because when you're in a life-threatening situation, you'll exhaust yourself if you just fight stupid, but if you fight smart, and fighting smart means with your immune system and in
right.
your own best interest, and they go okay. together, so that when you're really in touch with yourself, your own deep needs at a deep level, your immune system will rally, and you'll make the right choices, including what medical path to follow, because your heart is directing you. You're fighting for your, not just your survival, but your you know, the fullness that you want life to bring back to you.
Are you finding, as I have heard from some patients, they say that I've never felt better in my entire life, and then all of a sudden you hear that they've passed on. And it doesn't always mean, you know, people think cure, healing, wellness, all of those things mean I have a disease today and I'm going to attack it and I'm going to live until I'm 110, no way, no how. When really you can live a full life in a moment, you can live a full life in a day or a week or a month, and it doesn't have to be until you're 110. What are your thoughts on that concept?
Well, I think there's a lot of confusion, both mental and emotional confusion in this area. For example, oftentimes people will say to me, you know, I'm in remission or so-and-so's in remission. And I
mm-hmm.
say to them, okay, can you tell me what you mean by remission? And they go quiet for a second and they look a little bit confused. And eventually they realize remission isn't the same as cure. It's just a temporary disappearance of the problem, but there's a shadow there. It doesn't mean it's gone away, it just means it's sort of gone behind the corner for a while. And it's kind of like a spring, that you step on the spring, put
right.
your body weight on it, but when you step off, it'll come even higher than it was originally, which is what happens with cancer. If you suppress it, or any chronic disease, if you use suppressive medicine to, you know, make the symptoms disappear or reduce, that's going to hit you back harder after the remission period has expired. And so the question is, you know, what in order to have an actual cure, not just a feel-good episode where I'm, you know, I feel happy, but I'm still dying or I'm still broken internally, what needs to be done in order to, you know, allow for that? Not a remission, not a, just a placebo, feel-good, happy moment before I crash, but how is it possible to actually, you know, remediate the core of the problem? How can nature, with a capital N, supply this possibility for human beings? That's
mm-hmm.
really the most interesting question.
And how do you help them get to that spot? How do you share with them?
Well, I think it's about understanding how nature works and how disease processes work. And again, it's a, philosophical fragmentation creates confusion. So we have in our intellectual understanding, for example, of cancer, we have the very strange mainstream perception that it's a proliferation of abnormal cells without a clear cause, without an etiological understanding of what drives this phenomenon, whereas everything else is either inflammation or infection. So antibiotics for this, antibiotics for that. But when it comes to cancer, you know, the connection between an infectious microorganism and the proliferation, the neoplasm, is not recognized as a causative, you know, factor. So we have this sort of kind of a screen in between these causes and the results. So in order to correct any problem, as you know, it first has to be diagnosed correctly and deeply, not just what the symptoms are, but what is causing those symptoms, and then what's causing the cause that's providing those symptoms. So you go all levels of the building to the foundation. And when you've been able to analyze the architecture of something and track where the problem originates from, for example, your house got a leaking pipe in the basement or leaking sewer, you know where the source of the problem is. So with the proliferation of cancer, there's an interaction between toxins and proliferation of microorganisms, viruses, fungi, bacteria, parasites, and so on. That's an energetic one in that it's an electrical phenomenon. You know, it's an exchange of electrons and changing pH balances in various tissues of the body, giving rise to preconditions which then give rise to neoplasms. And so it's a matter of understanding what leads to what and why, and that's real energy medicine, not sort of waving your hands in the air and right. You know, whistling to the spirits.
I know.
That's not real energy medicine.
Yeah, it's unfortunate sometimes because when people really are at a point where your type of work may really help them just really regain their health, they choose to take sometimes, as we've said, though they always have the free will to choose, sometimes they take a path of less resistance or something that maybe their peer, I think peer pressure sometimes when you have a disease or an illness or something that comes up, I think peer pressure just is really overpowering these days. You know, you're going to do what your neighbor said, your girlfriend said, your doctor said, or what the television says.
Absolutely. I mean, peer pressure, absolutely, you nailed it. I mean, that peer pressure, when does it start? It starts at school, right? It starts early on, and you get conditioned into it, and you get weakened by it because you're accommodating, you're giving in, giving your power away, and you want to just, you know, do what they want you to do. And that is suppression of emotion and suppression of inner wisdom. Yeah, and it's a big problem. So when someone is, and I'm sure you see this all the time, you know, someone is in a serious medical situation and they feel frightened, they feel weak. They are weak. Their system is run down. Their family or people are trying to persuade them this is what you need to do. You need to, you have to do this. Mm-hmm. And they're basically twisting the person's arm, and the person has no strength to resist, and they just, they give in. This is such a big problem. I concur with you. And it's very difficult when you're weak to fight back against that, especially if they're people that you love and they that they want the best for you, but they don't have the knowledge or the flexibility or even the curiosity to find out usually, what would really be best for you. So it's another one of those loops that people are trapped in.
You know, I could see that so much when people come in and they say they have someone with them and the other person always starts to speak for them instead of them speaking themselves. Or, you know, and then you get them, sometimes you can get the patient themselves and you say, okay, what is going on? And they'll say, well, she wants me to do this or they want me to do that. And sometimes you always wonder, whose story is playing out here? Is it your caregiver, your husband, your spouse, your daughter, your kids, or whatever, versus your own story? And sometimes they say their story is, you know, I'm just tired and I'm just ready to check out. And we don't even honor that, you know, that may be where they are. And that is sometimes such a profound step of themselves to just say, you know, maybe I'll get it right the next time around or whatever, but this is the end now for me. And yet we see these people all the time that are doing things for other people, or, you know, like my doctors even do this all the time. Going back to the beginning of the conversation we had here about being obedient to your doctor, doctors will threaten you that if you don't do their therapies, if you don't do their treatments, and you don't follow through, they will drop you. So there is an intense amount of fear around disease and how being able to get help for that which really is just, as many people say, it's just taking me out. There's a lot of fear around it.
Yeah, I mean, there's fear and there's also bullying, you know, well-intentioned bullying. You know, when you go to the, you know, clinic or the hospital, they have this whole sort of fast-track frenzy thing going on. They want to rush you. You have to, you have to have this test, this procedure. We come in tomorrow at crack of dawn. We got to send you, do this to you, that to you. They kind of get this, they get you shaking in this kind of frantic mode where you then feel obligated to obey. So, you know, it's the opposite of calming the person down so that they can make the right decision, and even so that they can come into harmony within themselves. And it's you know, it's very sad, and it's actually very toxic. And so I think people, like you say, they end up agreeing to check out because it's tragic, but and it shouldn't be. It's not really necessary. You know, it's not physically, physiologically the end game for them. It's just that they've capitulated. Their spirit has been, you know, broken or eroded, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that's systemic. It's so normal. It's so everywhere that it seems, you know, when something's everywhere, like fast food joints.
I know.
When I came here, when I came to US the first time, I was in my 20s. And I didn't have a driving license because I never used a car in Europe. I came here, I had to drive. You know, you have to drive in the States.
Right.
So I learned to drive, and I bought a little car, a used car. It was over on the East Coast. And I was driving around, and then I was asking people, hey, you know, how do you get to this place or that place? And they said, oh, you know, just go up the freeway and you'll see a Howard Johnson's on your left and a Burger King on your right and then this, you know, the McDonald's. Everything looked exactly the same to me, and I was getting so panicky because I wasn't used to the strip malls and the fast food joints.
Right.
They didn't look different to me. They just looked like a kind of a strange blur. So I kept getting lost, and I started getting anxious on the road, you know. My point is that, you know, if you live amongst those types of things in your surroundings, they seem normal to you. If you live in the jungle, trees and chimpanzees seem normal to you. So the way the system is, once you get acculturated to it, it seems normal, it seems inevitable, and you no longer realize, well, everything could be very different. This is not the way it needs to be. It's just the way it's turned out to be, and it's not necessarily the best way at all. It's just that we're just caught up in this big habit and we think it's normal. It's not really normal. It's just the way things have been placed around us.
Yeah, as so many times people will say, but this is just the way it is. Get over it. Ugh, when I hear that, I just go, ay, you know, because really that in its sense is almost abusive to some people to actually hear that, you know, and to really be able to start to stand in your power, I think, is really where a lot of people hear this little click in their head and they say, you know, that didn't sound right, that what that doctor said. It didn't sound right what my friend said, or whatever they went through. You know, I'm really not ready to buy that farm, you know, or, oh, I don't think that I'm going to go down that road. And that's really all about, you know, letting all of that outside stuff fall away and start figuring out what you yourself and your core need and be able to figure your way out. But I'll tell you, Nicholas, I'll tell you, this is a tough time these days. You know, we're coming up on, you know, a lot of earth changes, a lot of energy changes, people infighting and everything, and people say, I don't even know what to do anymore, so, hey, I just show up. What would you suggest as their number one first step? If they don't have someone like you, what is the number one tip you would say just sit down and start to do?
Well, I think you just touched upon it. When a patient says, you know, I went to see the doctor or the specialist and something he or she said just didn't feel right. You know, I walked away and had a vibe and it just didn't sit well with me. It doesn't have to be a medical context. It could be anything, like you say.
Right.
But since we're talking about health here, that is the starting, it's a very healthy starting point for regaining wisdom and regaining your intuitive intelligence. And it's crucial first step. And you should sit with that and cultivate that and develop that instinct. You know, first of all, test how it feels when you're in the office, sitting there, listening. How does your body feel? Does it feel contracted? Does it feel absent? Does it feel heavy? Does it feel, you know, how do you feel? Of course,
right.
Most of the time your blood pressure goes up when there's a person in a white coat and a stethoscope in the room because it makes you nervous. So once you have that sense of physical experience, a reaction to something, that means you're in touch with yourself. That's the place to start. Then every time you listen to someone's advice, friend, or on the internet, or you check in with yourself and see how your body responds internally. And then try to think it through on the basis of that. Try to do a bit more inquiry, a bit more research. If something feels wrong, figure out what's wrong with it. If something feels potentially right, figure out more about it so that you become more informed. And then, you know, doors will open. You'll find maybe the right person to go to, a place that can help you.
And I think to never say there's nothing that can be done, because I think there's always so many options in this world, especially with the internet these days. You know, if people say, well, I don't have the money or I don't have the way to get around, I think there's always options. You will be able to find some help. And as you say, just continue down the path is the most important thing versus saying, you know, the path is ended and you sit down and, you know, that's not where you're supposed to put your tombstone, you know. Continue down the path. Keep going. Keep searching and be a seeker. And sometimes we forget that really we as human beings are seekers. We're seeking out different things. It's just that we don't want to be put in a box and be able to say this is the end of the road.
Well, right, but the people who seek, what are they seeking? They're seeking the truth.
Mm-hmm, to themselves.
The truth is not going to come to you from Dr. Google.
Right.
He's going to give you a zillion different options, and a lot of those are just either, you know, half-truths or scam, a way to make you spend your money by clicking on that mouse. And so your other option is go to the, you know, a regular channel, go to the doctor's office, and they're going to just sit you down and write these prescriptions and fill you full of drugs and send you on your merry way. So it seems like neither choice is very reassuring.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do? So,
right.
You know, we come back to the beginning, and that we need somehow, what's lacking is the wisdom to find the right combination for the individual, for you. And that's very difficult, frankly. It's not impossible, but you have to look a little bit deeper, a little bit harder, and you will find resources and individuals out there. You know, I'm not the only person. There's other places and people who are looking at reality in a very caring and holistic way. You have to try to orient your, you know, direct your binoculars to try to find that.
Mm-hmm.
You won't find the answer by yourself. This is a big problem nowadays. You know, it's either you have the expert, you know, in the white coat telling you, you need to obey what I'm telling you to do. Otherwise, you're going to get punished by the
right.
disease or by something, right? Slap across the wrist. Or you go to your computer, you Google, and you have all these people trying to, it's like a big oriental bazaar, trying to sell mm-hmm. you stuff.
Yeah.
And you can get tricked very easily and spend a lot of money and maybe you get worse. And
mm-hmm.
so what do you do? You know, and I think the place to start is, yes, you go and you do some research of your own, educate yourself, but then don't just follow what something is trying to persuade you to do in a nice, friendly way on the internet. You need to try to get some different kind of expert advice that's highly experienced and knowledgeable and can answer your questions directly and more completely so that you're more informed, not less informed. Because the problem, I think you touched on it, is the problem of obedience, whether it's peer pressure, whether
mm-hmm.
it's forcing by the doctor or the specialist, or sort of twisting your arm, sales pitching on the internet, or someone who's, you know, oh, you know, this totally worked for me, so you need to do it, I'm telling you. And it's not going to work for you because you're a different person and your condition is more complex or it's not the same.
Okay.
So personal power means personal responsibility, and personal responsibility means I need to educate myself a bit more, and then I need to get the right help in order to help me cook those ingredients, you know, put those bits of information together to make something that works well together, that gets me those beginning results, and I know where I'm headed with all of this, and I'm clear about it.
You think that some other people, if they're really in a really stuck position, can you share a little bit about your work, your website, and how people, if they come to you, they might be able to get some help?
Certainly. I mean, usually when I work with people, especially chronic cases, the first thing we do is sit down and we get to know each other and we talk. And it's about getting to know their story. Usually their emotions well up very quickly and they open
right.
up very quickly because they haven't been listened to for a very long time.
Right.
And that already opens up a lot of suppression. And it takes a spirit of inquiry, so it's about their story. It's not about the disease or the condition. It's about what's happened to them since day one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the place to start. And then once a picture has been formed, then options start to be discussed. And like I said before, most of the time, these healing options have been deleted from the frame because of the control of big pharma and vested interests
right.
and so on. So they're just not, they're sort of in invisible land.
Mm-hmm.
And so they need to
Yeah, be, you know, when people you know, start to feel heard, I think it changes their life, don't you think?
This is it. I mean, I think it's a very healing and empowering
yeah.
thing at the same time as a cathartic release thing, because The moment you feel heard, you feel valued. Yeah. And the moment you feel valued, you no longer feel you have to obey. And the moment right. you feel you no longer have to obey, your instinct kicks in, potentially. Mm-hmm. And when your instinct kicks in, your survival instinct also kicks in. So we're in a good starting position there for moving forward.
And you know, if you listen to them long enough, they'll actually tell you what they need, and they'll actually tell you how they can get it. You know, if you just let
right.
it go, right?
If they're in touch with themselves, they become their own prescribers about the
yeah.
essential part that needs to be healed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Interesting, huh? Well, Dr. Korn, we've come to the end of the half hour. I'm sorry. But this has been a great time. You know, I tell you, so we get so enthralled in talking sometimes, I never notice the time. And it just,
me neither.
We can talk forever. Can you share with us briefly your website and also a little bit about your book? That would be great.
Sure. So the website is, we're based on this beautiful island, San Juan Island, up on the Pacific Northwest coast near Canada, and the town is called Friday Harbor, and so our clinic here is Friday Harbor Holistic Health. So the website is the same, Friday, like the day Friday, Harbor, and then Holistic, H-O-L-I-S-T-I-C, health.com, and you'll find information about how we work and what we do on the site. And also, if you're interested in reading or purchasing The Power of Letting Go, which is the book, my most recent publication, that's available also from the site.
Well, Dr. Korn, it's been a great pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, the pleasure's entirely mine. Thank you so much also.
Bye,
Thank Dr.
you
Jeanette.
So much. Thank you.
Right.
If you'd like to find out more information about Dr. Nicholas Korn, his website link is on the bottom of today's show page. You just click on there and you can go directly to that site. Thank you so much for joining us, and please do understand, as Dr. Nicholas and I have both been saying, really, if you're not feeling well, something's up, all you can do is just keep asking yourself and figuring it out. You'll eventually get there. Just keep going down that road. Keep going down, you know, keep saying there's, I can keep going, and, you know, bring back some of your self-empowerment and more power into yourself, and you'll be able to eventually figure things out. So thank you so much for joining us here on Alternative Medicine and Wellness, and have a wonderful day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.